Join us on Now We Consume. Take in the knowledge, take in the laughs, indulge in the topics with us. The Now We Consume podcast will take you through the parts of your day you normally dread. Why suffer through the existential crisis of life alone when you can do it with us? And Now We Consume.
This is not meant to be a conspiracy episode or podcast, but we may cover some topics that dance that line like a toddler dances on their mother's last nerve. This podcast is rated I, for immature audiences only.
Did you know that if you fill your butthole with helium and super glue your cheeks shut, you will in fact not float away into space like some cool human balloon? You will just vomit and pass out and wake up in the hospital after they pop your anus open with a spring-loaded cheek spreader and deflate you like a neat whoopee cushion. With that fact, welcome to the Now We Consume podcast. I'm your host, Pip. Here, as always, with my stunt co-hosts, Gibbs and Gibbles.
Yeah.
Hi. What is the ratio of abuse that has to get to where your brain comes up with that? Like, is it like being touched by your uncle, then beaten by your aunt? Like, how does this work? What is the mathematical equation to where that sentence comes out? What in the flying fuck did I just hear?
Oh, like the old guy sitting at the surplus store, Gibbs. I have seen some things.
Jesus Christ.
That is a case of boredom that I wish I'd never get.
So welcome back, everybody. Hope y'all are enjoying your weekend before Thanksgiving, the most glorious and gluttonous holiday that we have ever devised. This is a week
it truly is an American holiday.
Oh, absolutely. It is gluttony That's through awesome. And through. This is a week of pure food chaos that is unmatched anywhere in the world.
You know what, though? I feel as America, we're lacking a little bit because fast food doesn't yet offer a to-go Thanksgiving meal. Just saying. The day that McDonald's and Wendy's all them offers a to-go Thanksgiving is where we reach peak America.
Yes, that will be it. Bob Evans is about the only place that has like a take-home meal that around me anyways. But you have to get it like a day or two before, and then you have to heat it all up.
Yeah, that's not fast food, though.
Yeah, but you can get a Thanksgiving meal in like a sub form from like get-go and different places like that.
If you're brave enough, you can get a Thanksgiving meal from any gas station.
Oh, yeah.
What gas station sells turkey?
There's turkey subs.
Yeah, oh, Country I'm Fair, like a, get-go. Like a turkey.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be hot.
Like a full-on turkey?
Well, yeah, Thanksgiving you have a full turkey.
Mm-hmm. That's just being picky.
Well, if you want a full-on deli meat thing, you know, they get turkey from Country Fair.
Yeah. Or like me, I go to the local store and I just pick up like a whole ass rotisserie chicken. But they also have slabs of turkey cut up too. It's great either way. So this week, we are going to do a little bit of a different episode. We're doing a lightning round style of episode because next week is going to be our 1 year anniversary for the show. Give it up, everybody. Woot, woot.
Thank you all for
raise that roof.
Woot.
So aside from astounding ourselves for being able to keep our attention focused on something for a year, we're trying to get an episode done that we've been working on, honestly, since last season to have that be our show for next week. So this episode will hopefully be a little bit shorter, maybe entertaining. Hope you guys laugh and get some enjoyment out of it. So to kick things off, we have some fun news segments. And Gibbles, I know you had one that you were talking about. And we were both like, no, hold on. This has to be for the show. So go ahead and take it.
All right. So today I bring to you McDonald's burger to believe the world's oldest quarter pounder turns 30.
Blech.
Quote unquote, it's no longer food.
It wasn't food when it was made.
Right? Hold on. Let me see if I pull this picture up.
So is it like just hanging out? Like, is it in a container? Is it like,
it's just hanging out from what I've seen.
How is it still a burger? How is it not like just a pile of jello or like just biological matter?
Well, so you remember the episode we did on our food is killing us?
Yeah.
That's why.
Does it still look like a burger?
This is yet more proof. Which I want to kind of shout out the video that I made the other day and put up on Facebook. Oh my God. Look at this thing. If you're listening on the audio platforms, please come over and check out the video that accompanies the show, because holy shitballs.
So wait a minute. That's a 30-year-old
bird. That's a 30-year-old.
That's a 30.
That literally looks like a usual chicken sandwich from most fast food places.
Wow.
And if you look closely, the darker parts on the meat patty, that's where the ketchup at one point was.
That's not the cheese. That's the ketchup.
Yeah.
Oh. Where's
the cheese? It's just a quarter pounder. It's not a quarter pounder with cheese.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fair. Wow. How is the bread? Timeout.
Yep.
How is there not mold on the bread?
They put anti-mold agents in the bread. I made a video and put it up on Facebook the other day. I have a package of bread up in my kitchen from July. I stumbled on it a few weeks ago, realizing when it was from. It's not molded. It's hamburger buns. They're not molded. They're still soft. The bag has been opened. It's been used. But I compared it to some sub buns that I got just this week. The sub buns are showing mold now. They have to be tossed. So this is a thing.
Yeah. According to the guy that's had this thing for the last 30 years, he said that this thing has been just in a bag. It's been out in the shed. Where else has it been? But it's still got the McDonald's stamped beige paper packaging all this time. Hasn't been refrigerated. It's been stuffed in cupboards, garbage bags, and sheds. It's still eerily intact, as you can see. And hasn't developed any mold or bad odor.
So does
according to McDonald's,
I was going to say, does this guy have like an emotional support hamburger so he's kept it around this long?
I'm right.
Why? Why did he keep it? I need to know. I need to ask this guy, like, hey, so you found a burger. Yeah. And you kept it. Oh, yeah. For 30 years. Yeah. Why?
Why not is the better question at this point.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, those of us that have kids, we've all found that random chicken nugget in our back seat, you know, a year later. And we've...
Right. And it's dried out.
But it still looks fine.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of you guys have also given it the bite test, but... Well, you didn't?
I'm sorry. Is that... That's... No. What?
You got to give them the bite test and see what they taste like.
No, you don't. No one says you have to. Do you think... Hold on. Is someone putting a gun to your head or something? What's going...
Right. Do you want to die? Because that's how you're going to die.
I will neither confirm or deny.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Poor stomach.
So, I didn't... Yeah. I did not swallow that bite of chicken nugget.
Ew. Well, here's the best part. According to McDonald's, this isn't supposed to happen. They're like, we don't know why the burger hasn't aged.
Sure.
But they're like, you know, they're saying it's a huge myth that the burgers never go bad and break down. They're like, you know, that had to be some, you know, special situation where, you know, it's just a very dry environment or, you know, somehow got dehydrated. Come on.
Nope.
Everybody that eats a McDonald's knows that while it's hot and fresh, okay, yeah, it's still... It's edible. Some people like it. Some people don't. However, we all know at the end of the day, when you pump enough preservatives and chemicals into the food, it's not going to break down.
Yeah. I lived on that shit for years. And I mean, look at me. I'm living proof.
Oh, and article. Okay. So they're saying the reason why he kept it is it got shoved into a cupboard. So, Nitz explains a friend couldn't finish the burger and asked them to hold on to it. Friend never came back, but he kept his promise.
Ew.
And then his mom begged him to throw out the stale food that was sitting at his desk. But because he was a stubborn teenager, he refused to get rid of it. So he shoved it in a box and put it in the cupboard. Because he made a promise that he wouldn't throw it away.
You know, that's a good friend, but
yeah,
I mean, damn.
You know, at some point, you just got to go. Nah, it's got to go.
Yeah.
He's not coming back.
No.
I don't think it's going to eat it.
No, but you know, that's a good friend that does that. All right. So moving on, Gibbs, did you have one?
I have a couple. Okay. So I'll just pull up the first one here. So this was an interesting one. So a while ago, somebody had made a game called You Are Jeff Bezos, which basically it was the idea of like if you had access to Jeff Bezos, who runs Amazon, all of his email, and like you could like see what you could do with like your $150 or $200 billion of value or whatever. So somebody decided, oh, let's make a game where you have a cloned Gmail account, except you're logged in as Jeffrey Epstein and you could see all his emails. And it is one of the most cursed games I've ever seen. There are things I cannot show for obvious reasons.
Oh, no.
But I thought it was kind of hilarious, considering everything that's happened, that you could be on Steam playing You Are Epstein or playing as Epstein or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Going through the emails. Some of them are just really funny gag stuff. Like some of it's just random, like hilarious stuff. But the reason why I want to bring this up is because some of the stuff politically they were talking about how the Epstein files of some stuff got like released. So now they're going to be doing jokes about certain characters, certain politicians doing certain things to other people. So it's meant to be like a gag kind of thing, like a funny thing. But who the hell thought, yes, let's turn the Epstein documents into emails and release it as a video game.
Oh,
I just had a good laugh with it.
I could see that totally as a Rick and Morty episode.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Oh, geez.
And instead of being John Malkovich, it's being Jeff Epstein.
Oh
yeah. It's just such a stupid little thing, but I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because I was like, who else? The thing is, who else are they gonna start doing that with? Who else would be like a funny person to do that?
I have the best email, it's the best. It's just so great. Anybody that sees my email, they're just going to be blown away.
Yeah. All right. Did you have another one that you wanted to mention?
We've got mountain of illegally dumped trash near Oxford River in England.
Yeah. Did you have the picture on that one? Because that was pretty gross.
Let me see. Oh, that's a video. Oh, we don't want a video. No. Oh.
Yeah, so there's rivers in England that are they're getting pretty gross, for lack of a better term. We won't get into why.
That's for a separate politics episode kind of thing.
That's the river. Yeah. I'll go ahead and
so it now identifies as a solid. It's no longer a liquid. From what the discussion that I saw, it was like several hundred tons of trash.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Or now it's some of the rivers in England.
It's just a causeway of pure I can't even describe it.
This took like barely a year for this to happen.
Oh my
god. They're saying like just back in April 2024 or something, like everything was fine, and then all of a sudden boom, trash.
So what's interesting though? So away from the politics side, what was interesting, if you look at the trash, a lot of it is processed, which means there are companies operating dumping. In illegally dumping over there. And apparently this one's by far the worst case, but they're having a problem in England where some people have come over and they didn't know how to deal with it in terms of local services, that they have other companies that deal with trash and waste that are just taking on the contracts, taking the waste and putting it somewhere else.
Oh.
Yep. Tipping.
Yeah, that's what they call it over there. Which, by the way, I don't know who's tipping flies, but that's weird.
I've tipped a cow. That's
a complicated process. Like, I don't get it.
I have tipped a cow, but I've never tipped a fly unless you count flicking it off of the surface it was on.
No, that's non-consensual ejection. That is the world's cheapest space program.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Yes.
An all-expense paid trip to over there.
Yeah, and not only that, can you imagine waking up in the morning, you walk out to your front yard to get your newspaper, and then, hey, look, there's last night's trash from the local porno shop.
Yeah, it's just...
hey, I recognize that.
Damn.
Yeah.
I was wondering why it smelled like latex and shame out here.
Yeah.
But it's apparently a problem that's happening really all over Europe besides Poland, but really in the UK a lot. That's been a big thing, especially in local parks and stuff like that, nature reserves, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But the other problem with this was that the local town is apparently responsible for cleaning it up. And they were mm-hmm. like, we don't have the funds to do this. And the federal yeah. government was like, how about no? Like, we're not going to get involved because we don't have money. So now it's becoming right. this whole big problem of like, who is actually responsible? But they don't know who's dumping it, which I do find kind of weird because they have police cameras and traffic cameras everywhere in England.
A right. lot of the cameras have been getting knocked down.
Yeah, I wonder why. So it's...
Well, so a lot of the cameras have been getting knocked down because they're being used to enforce fines and facial recognition stuff that a lot of the people are just fed up with. So yeah. we'll go into further detail yeah. on some of the more political episodes that we do. But, yeah. you know, good on the people for fighting back on the facial recognition shit because yeah. that needs to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Sounded more and more like China.
Yeah.
China. Well,
it's just one of the things to keep in mind that I think something in the Western world we're dealing with is just waste in general and waste mm-hmm. management that's now becoming really a new $1 trillion industry is what do we do with all the waste and all these things? How do we process it? How do we deal with it?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of cases, there's like no real straightforward answer because the costs in order to do that kind of stuff
right.
is just skyrocketing.
Skyrotting.
English.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was a whole episode of Futurama about how they handled their trash in the future. They strapped it all into a rocket and launched it into the sun.
I still don't see the problem with that. Has anyone ever proven if that wouldn't work?
Yeah,
it would absolutely work.
It's bad. They're but like, getting it into orbit and then the risk of the rocket exploding.
That's true.
Especially if the Russians did it. Or North Korea, because, I mean, if we do it, then everyone else is going to try it. And
could you imagine dirty diapers raining for miles?
Whoever said you needed a rocket, just build a railgun into the side of a mountain and just shoot it kinetically.
Okay, so the kinetic accelerator, like the centrifugal accelerator, yeah.
Yeah.
You just compact everything down into cubes and then just launch, you know?
Yeah, just manhole cover that shit, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah. I think that needs revisited now that we have better technology.
Because that would be hilarious. Humanity develops the fastest space-faring vessel ever designed. And what does it do? It launches our shit.
Yep. Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Where's it going? To the sun.
Away.
Yes.
Where's it's not away?
Not away, here. Away, away, away.
Not here. All right.
Imagine being on the International Space Station and you just see literally a pile of shit flying by you at Mach 5.
It's going at, you know, speed of Jesus Christ.
All right. So I want to hit a news article. Special announcement. We here at the Now We Consume podcast have obtained dark web access only photographs of Comet 3i Atlas. It took an immense amount of research to find these. You are not going to find these images anywhere else on the web, I can promise you. So here tonight, and again, if you're on the audio versions, please go check out the stream on YouTube. Amazing. These pictures are going to show definitively this comet is 100% technological in origin, and I know this sounds crazy, but Gibbles, go ahead, drop the feed. Not that one. We
How
have
I
proof.
Fucking no.
We have proof right there. That comet, as you can see, is
How
not
did I know?
Natural.
How did I know? How did I know? How did I know? Honestly, I fully expected you to do something stupid like me dressed in drag or something crazy. That is actually not as offensive as I thought you'd be. You know what's funny with that AI photo? I look like a mix of between myself and Lieutenant.
I was thinking Iron, but do you have the other one, Gibbles?
I'm working.
Yeah.
At least honestly the headset's done in pretty good detail. Like
it is. Gibbs is now orbiting the Earth.
Where is it?
I don't know, it's wherever you put it. It's your computer. You know, I am not surprised, but also, what the fuck? So
there he is. So there we go. So Gibbs is just riding around in space.
Fair enough. Then how am I here?
Well, you were done orbiting the Earth, and then you came back.
It was a long trip.
So, yeah. We wanted to have a little bit of fun with that. And
God, I might change that to my Discord profile. that's hilarious, actually. I kind of like it.
So, but in all seriousness, Elon Musk was talking about the comet and how it's kind of haunting. We're still watching it, but we do have at least some more definitive proof that it is, in fact, a natural phenomenon. So, unfortunately, there will be no clapping cheeks of aliens this month, like we had hoped. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
We have listener confessions. This is going to be for an upcoming episode. We would like everybody that listens to the show to either via Facebook or on Discord or on Instagram, whichever, submit your most embarrassing, weird, or what the hell story anonymously. We will read them out to each other and get live reactions. And we'll try to guess if they're real or fake. So if you want to make up a story, that's fine. Let's have at it. Just notate whether it actually happened or if this is just total bullshit. Give us a challenge. We'd like to see what you can come up with for us.
That's dangerous.
It is. I could tell the missile story on air. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that'll
be good one. Or the other story that shall not be named.
That one. We have a special guest that we have to tell him we're doing that one.
Well, yeah,
so he can watch it.
Oh, yeah. In the news, Qatar had an emergency alert drill that scared the absolute shit out of everybody. They had a nationwide siren blast for the World Cup prep. People's phones went off. They started to panic buy supplies like it was a Y2K prep. So that would have been fun, similar to that Hawaii missile alert. Can you imagine if you're in one of those countries that like routinely gets that kind of bullshit and your phone gets the "you're going to die" alert?
And then spam stock goes through the roof.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. In like 9 months, they're going to see a big uptick of kids. There's a lot of people that said, well, last ride to die, baby. Let's fucking go.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, nope. No protection required because we're not going to be here tomorrow. And then an hour later, it's like, we need to go to CVS.
Uh-oh.
That's bold to think they have CVS at Qatar.
I know.
I could say what it actually is, but that would get us off air. So
I know in Kuwait, they have a Chili's.
That's true.
In Applebee's. What? Yeah. Right next to
Applebee's. Yeah, they have an Applebee's, too. I went to the Applebee's. It's really nice.
They have a Chili's in Qatar, because I went to it. Oh, wait, that was Bahrain.
Yeah. I went to Applebee's in Kuwait City. That was awesome.
Nice.
A little weird, because the bar was empty, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The U.S. Mint is retiring the penny. So, goodbye to Lincoln's shiny scam. After 232 years, no more 1 cent coins. This is the final fuck you to couch change. Pennies were worthless anyways, but now rounding up prices will screw the poor. We need to do what?
I was getting ready to say I've already seen the shenanigans from this app, from this situation.
I was
standing in line at a gas station. Oh my God.
Yeah. People think pennies are just suddenly disappearing now. They're not going away anytime soon. We have like 30 years worth of pennies in circulation.
There's trillions of pennies in circulation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you got companies that are like, oh, well, if it's going to be pennies or no more, we're not taking them. So we'll either round up or round down.
Yeah.
And then you end up with a situation with poor people arguing about 2 cents.
Yeah. That should be fun.
You know what's going to be funny? I wonder the amount of people that are going to be illegally collecting pennies to melt down and sell the copper and whatever things that's in them, the metals, because they're worth more than the value of a penny.
Well, so I was watching a video on that recently, and in the next few years, the older pennies are probably going to go up in value because people will do just that, especially if the price of copper keeps going up. Like, yeah. have you seen the price of copper lately?
Yeah.
It's that's nuts. Why
I was redoing some plumbing on Saturday. I did PVC because I'm not paying for copper.
Boy, yeah.
And I'm hoarding
yeah.
all my copper in the house. Fuck you. You can't have my copper. Nope.
Yeah, copper's ridiculous. Well, not just copper either. It's like all the precious metals. Here, let me get a live price real quick while we're on the topic. That's silver.
To start mining.
Silver is at $50.19 an ounce.
God.
I'm not that old, and I can remember when silver was $4 an ounce. $2 an yeah. ounce, even.
I remember when I was younger, it was like
I invested eight in or wrong 10. Stuff.
Yeah. Gold is sitting at $4,067 an ounce right now.
I remember
now.
When gold was like $1,000 an ounce.
I can remember when it was $2.50 an ounce.
Well, that too.
Again, I'm old. copper. So am I, but I know. You know we're the same age.
Compete.
I know. Copper is coming up on $5 a pound.
Oh.
That is goddamn ridiculous.
Not explain why there's not much copper in my new house.
Uh huh. Not that long ago, copper was sitting at like $1.50, $2 a pound. So yeah, the pennies that they just got rid of, the new pennies were, Let me see.
Had to be. Let me guess. It cost about a nickel to make.
Metal value was 0.008 cents. So still less than a penny. The old pennies, however, were 3.2 cents.
Oh, that was about 2 cents.
So that kind of raises a question. What math were they going on to get rid of the penny?
Well, it depends on who was president at the time, I guess.
Trump. They just did it. Because this is not showing that it's 3 cents worth of material for the penny. I don't know. Nickels are right. almost 6 cents each, so they'll be next. Nickel is sitting at $6.50 a pound. So that's kind of cool. Start hoarding nickels.
Ooh.
And by the way, if you have any old silver change, if you know how to look for it, hold on to that shit because yes. Oh my god.
Oh yeah. Silver quarters make a very unique sound when they
yes, they do. And for reference, silver quarters right now, this is not a coin collecting channel, $9 a piece.
Wow, I got $9 in the safe. Nice.
I've got almost a whole quarter roll of those upstairs.
Where the hell do you find them?
Change. Huh. Laundromats, dude. Go to laundromats.
Wait a minute. I never thought about this. You build a laundromat in a rich area and you don't even try to do it to make a profit. You just collect all the fucking rare coins.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
There are coin channels that'll tell you like all the key date coins and error coins and shit. Yeah, there's a lot of those.
There's an app you can use to scan them. Uh-huh. Just like cards.
Yeah.
Just like magic cards?
Yes.
Oh, there's an app for coins. Because I know, because I have so many. I have like, you know those like 5 gallon jugs of coins?
Mm-hmm.
I have like 4 or 5 of those full of coins from like the 50s,
you
60s.
You could go
40s.
On a vacation to Hawaii.
Probably.
Oh, I know, but I want to sit on them and wait.
Yeah. Just don't lube them up and
okay,
sit on
you're
them.
Not a goose.
So the Morgan dollars and the Peace dollars, $38.82 each.
Damn.
Hmm.
So
$38.82 each.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Morgan dollars are still a good buy if you get them on like eBay or something. Just make sure they're not scams.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's all we're going to talk about for precious metals and rare coins and shit. But yeah, that's still pretty insane. So keep an eye on the metal currency. It's worth holding on to.
So what I'm hearing is we need to put our funds together and invest in a copper mine.
Yeah, copper mines, copper stock. I mean, buying copper bullion online is still fairly cheap. You can get like kilo bars for not that much. You know,
and then we convince like, you know, teenagers that, you know, the more copper you collect, the more women you have.
There you go. If they're, well, they're not interested in women. They're going to be interested in women bots.
That's true.
If you collect enough copper and silicone, you can make your own.
There you go. Or trade it in for a bot.
Yeah.
Yes. Bot trade.
Okay.
So, Gibbs, did you want to take any of the next ones here?
I'm sorry. I was staring at the photo. I can be honest. I've just been, that's wild. You know what I hate? I hate that it actually has more definition in the face than the camera shows. So I look pale in comparison to the fucking photo.
Well, yeah. God,
oh, man, yeah.
Killing me.
Had to get the natural skin tones in there.
Oh, my God.
He's like in love.
Well, it's just, it's weird. It was just weird. Because like it even has, I think it's the eye color right, too, which is fucking weird.
Mm-hmm. AI, man.
God. Although it could have given me a full head of hair. Like, that's kind of fucking rude. Giving me the widow's peak tail. Like, you know, it gave me even less hair. Wait a minute. I'm kind of insulted. It gave me even less hair in the fucking photo. Jesus
Christ. Oh, shit.
I mean, you still have more hair than I do. But, you know, hey.
Oh, my God.
Because right now, with the light being, you can't even see what's left right here. All gone. Not even a hair club for men could save me.
Yeah, but to be fair, you could rock bald, though.
True. I've been rocking it since, oh, man.
Well, you got the Picard going on.
Like 2004? 2005?
Wow.
Yeah. The moment I had a beautician tell me, you're losing your hair, I just shaved it all off.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm. Right before a buddy's wedding. I was just like, yeah, it's gotta go.
Jesus Christ. Well, if you want me to take the next one.
Yeah.
So we have the paradox of peak TV. Are we watching less because there is more? Is there a lot of burnout, decision fatigue, and the streaming wars? So basically, one of the topics that we've kind of discussed previously, but I know this is something that I think we're seeing even more of. I did want to reference this to the fact that I want to ask you two a question. Are the movie theaters near you guys shutting down as well?
It's not shutting down, but I'm surprised it's still open.
Because the big news in my area, so I'm near where the Patriots NFL team has their stadium, and there's a huge like AMC big theater next to it. It's massive. It's like three floors and has a bunch of different levels and stuff and like so many different. That's closing down. Literally the biggest one in the state.
Wow.
That's how bad it
is. I'm not surprised.
But what's wild is where the Patriots, what's called Patriots Place, there's like 9 or 10 bars and a bunch of shops and different areas. Like it's in like a big kind of entertainment area. Plus, there's a big medical district in there too. So it's like if you're ever going to have a place to have a movie theater,
that's
there's
it.
Thousands of people coming out and they can't even survive. So I guess I've been wondering, like, number one, what are you guys' thoughts on, at this point, number one, all the different streaming options, number two, the fact that the movies now kind of suck, and number three, there's nothing, like, original, and also, what the fuck do you even choose at this point? Because not for nothing, every single week, someone tells me a show from some other streaming service, I'm at a point where it's like, I apparently have to buy fucking all of them, and then never use them.
Yeah.
Well, I would definitely have to say that you may not be old enough for this, but it's definitely what I think is the Blockbuster effect, where you walk into Blockbuster, you have hundreds of choices to pick for a movie, and you walk around for an hour just like perusing the videos, and you're like, I don't know what to choose. And you may even walk out of there not choosing a damn thing. I know when I sit down at my television, I end up just looking at YouTube only because of the fact that my attention span is only so long and I don't mind just clicking through stuff just like I was in Blockbuster when I was younger. Oh my God. And And then with the movie theaters closing down, it doesn't help that you can buy almost a 90 some inch screen display for your living room, hook up a surround sound system and be just as good as the movie theater.
Not only that, I was kind of annoyed that I saw ticket prices in my area. Like, they're $15 to $20 per ticket to see a movie.
Oh, I know. You're spending $50 at a movie theater. Easy.
Per person.
And it's like, why would I do that if I can rent the movie at the house through Amazon Prime for like $5?
Or buy it for $20.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or yeah, by the lease to be able to watch it whenever you want.
Which we'll talk about that later. To circle back on what you were saying, the shit coming out of Hollywood nowadays sucks.
It doesn't justify the price of a movie.
Not at
ticket.
All.
I mean, the last movie I went and saw only because of the fact it was unrated was The Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, which I'm still trying to watch.
I love that. It was a good one.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. And did anyone see the more recent Hulk or Red Hulk Marvel movie?
No.
No.
You know what's funny? I've asked that to everyone I know. And you know what everyone has said?
No.
No. My buddy and I tried to watch it at his house, and we thought we got ripped off for spending $5 to watch it. Like, I was sitting there thinking, wow, $5, and I still got screwed over. And the sad part is that was supposed to be, like, a big movie for the year. Like, there's even I heard Fantastic Four wasn't that good. And those were supposed to be...
I enjoyed that one.
It was pushed, and it flopped. The newest Tron pushed all to hell, flopped so hard. They're going to lose $130 million on that one because they're pulling it out of theaters early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked about the decline of the entertainment industry. They're running out of ideas. And I think we have
some of it's not even running out of ideas. It's the fact that they want to sit there and push all these agendas.
Yeah.
Just tell the freaking story. I don't care if it's a white character and it's a white character. If it's a black character. Put a black person in there. That's it. Don't sit there and whitewash or blackwash or Asian wash, whatever the character is. Mm-hmm. Don't put somebody into a position that
doesn't need to be there.
Should not be that. That doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, the latest Harry Potter series that's coming out, and they're putting a gentleman that is obviously a very good actor. However, for that part, the way the story is written, you mean to tell me Harry Potter's father is now going to be picking on a black person? That is so bad.
That's against his character as written in the original books.
Exactly. It's so not going to fail character at all. Yeah. And everybody's sitting like, we don't understand. No, you've removed yourself from the idea that maybe you should think about what the characters are doing and why certain parts are the way they are. If you don't like it, well, then guess what? Move on to a different project.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's stupid. They got mad at all these movies from like the early eras where, you know, you had a white man playing a Chinese character or a Japanese character. Okay, I can understand. You'd be pissed because that's racist. But at the same time, these days, because we're more supposed to be more progressive, you don't take a black person and put them into a white person's character. That makes no damn sense.
Or vice versa. They did that with that movie, White Chicks. Look how that turned out.
Well, I don't know. I thought that was funny. That was intentional, but that was making fun of that whole idea.
I know. That was a joke.
It's has anyone watched the more recent Lord of the Rings TV show that was on Amazon Prime?
I did not.
Are you talking about the animation one?
No, the live action one. That was done like a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, if anyone wants to see something like that showed 100% to the extent, watch that. And you'll see it goes against almost everything J.R.R. Tolkien made in that universe. It made it very political, very, you know, one-sided politically. And it failed as a story. It didn't tell a good story. It got so lost in selling a point that they're there to sell the politics, not the story. And I think, unfortunately, the phrase, and I hate to bring it up, but go woke, go broke, unfortunately, it has been proven time and time again. If you just tell a good story, that's all people are asking for. And I hear this from people on all sides of the political spectrum, even people I know that are very on the woke kind of progressive side. It's like, we just want to have fun. Why is it that movies can't be fun anymore? Why can't they just be funny? Like, the last good movie I saw was Hitman's Bodyguard, and that was like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Hitman's Bodyguard's Wife. That one was good, too.
Yes.
That was a great movie.
That was amazing.
There was no politics, no nothing. It was just fun.
I will say, I like Playdate. That one was good, too.
I haven't seen that one. I will say that as far as the movies themselves go, we are not that far away. Probably maybe 3 years, 5 years tops, excuse me, from having AI being able to take a book and fully render a video that is book accurate into a movie for you within a day, possibly even a few hours. So you can take a book, submit it to the AI engine, go to work, and when you come home, it's ready for you. And it will be book accurate, ready for you to watch, and done, customized for you. That's going to take us into a whole new realm of media, because then you can even have edited versions that you have customized, and then you can send those out to the world and say, hey, here's this spin on it. Those could even be done like NFTs.
And I know that's like somebody taking the, what movie was that with Chris Pratt where he was stuck on the ship by himself and everybody else was in hypersleep?
Passengers.
That's it. Yeah. And they recut it to where it was a horror movie instead, and it was from the other character's perspective.
Yeah. Which so, I think would be a good watch, honestly.
Yeah, it's going to be the case of eventually what's going to happen is going to be an AI exchange where essentially between music videos and movies and TV shows, especially it's going to be reruns of old TV shows that are going to be reimagined, re-edited, or updated, or making sequels or prequels, whatever. It's eventually going to be, for example, for someone like me that I think all three of us agree, Avatar The Last Airbender, the original TV show, is probably one of the best animated TV shows of all time. For those of us that are like, I wonder what happened afterwards, we'll be able to make our own and make it make sense. And especially all those people on Reddit and online and 4chan, whatever, that make, you know, the sequels and write all the stuff, they're going to go nuts with it. That's the problem. The problem is going to be there's no such thing as canon, because it's going to be in the Pip universe or in the Gibbles universe or in the Gibbs universe or whatever. And it's going to be wild. But what's going to be interesting is I think filmmaking for a long time has been not like a, like a niche thing, where really to be a good filmmaker, you have to kind of have a very special skill set. Now it's going to be whoever has access to the resources, they can make whatever they want, which is good for creativity in a lot of ways, because that's to do a bit of a parallel. Right now in the music world, we're at a point to where I can at home, just in my regular studio here, make records that sound very, very, very damn near close to what people produce in professional million-dollar studios with the right software. Yeah. Eventually, movies and TV shows are going to go the same way. As it is, I've already seen spinoffs of TV shows for like small episodes that AI is already doing, and they're fucking hilarious. I watched one the other day. It was like a 5-minute episode of If the Avengers Were an 80s Sitcom Movie. And I'll be honest with you, it was hilarious. I actually had a good time with it. Somebody spent some real effort into it. But imagine very soon, you'll be able to change everything.
Yeah. As it stands right now, we have the technology and the capacity to do short films via AI. Like as it is. So people who are good at writing prompts and editing prompts and generating content off of other content can already do short films. Upwards of, 15 to 30 minutes. So if you're a good storyteller and you can write a good story that can be translated into an AI prompt universe, essentially, you can very quickly give a Hollywood studio a huge run for their money without having to spend all the resources and pay the actors, because AI is going to do it for you. Give it another couple of years, and it's going to be a full-on AI versus real actors war. Like the writer strike that we had, it's going to be the actor strike, because the AI is going to be replacing the actors. They've already had that written into their contracts. But AI can just create people.
Did you both know, this is something I didn't want to say before the podcast, did you both know that on Spotify for a few days, the top artist was a full AI artist?
Yes, I saw that.
I heard about that.
Yeah. And
I was going to say, the other issue you're running into is audiobooks. They actually, like the series I've been listening to now for a while, is Dungeon Crawler Carl. The narrators, they've done an amazing job. Like one narrator, he does so many different voices. It's amazing. You can go online And if it's not on Audible, you go to Spotify, you need a bunch of other sites, and it's an AI generated narration. And it's being sold like it's, you know, the actual official one. So that's just another spin where AI is being utilized to take over, you know, artists, you know, format.
The only thing I will add is I am seeing some people using AI for really cool tools, though. So one of the things I did see, so there's this app called Suno, where basically you can use it to create music or media. What I've been using it for, which I find interesting, is I will record, let's just say, a guitar part, make sure it's obviously time aligned, and then I'll send it to Suno and say, hey, write a cool drum part for it, and I'll just have it regenerate and give me ideas. And I say, oh, I like that. Then I hop on the drums and I'll play my version of it. So I use it almost like a writing tool. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe the way to look at it is if you use AI in conjunction or maybe to springboard an idea for many things, it can be cool. Like, for example, if you're using it for making a movie, sometimes it could be, hey, we can AI out almost 80 or 90% of the movie before we even shoot it. That way we can make sure everything makes sense, it looks good, and you use that as a template, then you actually shoot it and make it in real time. What I wonder is the movie industry going to change to where people are going to submit movies that are AI made, and they'll spend a few $1,000s, maybe $10,000 on the AI software to make it, and then that's their pitch, saying, hey, this isn't a proper movie, it's an AI one, but this is how I want it to be. This will make the storyline make sense, here's the script, this is the gist of it, and then they go actually make it. If we switch to that kind of system, I think that would give so many people an advantage to be able to make good, consistent, and coherent movies, but then still be able to employ people to make them. So it all depends on how you use it, really. It just, you know, just like anything else.
Yeah.
Make it more like, you know, okay, you have factory-made bread, and you have artisan bread. Yeah. You know, you, AI, okay, you know, it's not bad. It works. Or artisan, it's human made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which you prefer.
You get Hollywood movies and artisan movies.
And you know what's going to be interesting, though? I wonder if the amount of really shit Hollywood actors and actresses that they keep being employed just because they're around, how many of them are going to be replaced by AI because they don't want to fucking deal with them?
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to convince AI to do a sex scene, whereas you have to do, you know, have, you know, all that stuff for, you know, an actress and actor to keep everything safe. Everybody feels comfortable. You just tell the AI actors. Yeah, exactly. Whereas AI actress and actor, you just tell them, do whatever. You know, and you don't have to worry about anybody complaining.
Yep. But that's the thing is, I wonder how many scenes they won't even need actors to be there for. They'll just do the talking parts and some of the action sequences, then they'll leave, and the other half of the movie will be all AI, and at one point you'll never know.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
It's almost there. Almost.
Yeah.
It's that extra pinky that really does it for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they grip a hold of things and there's that extra little grab on thing, you know. Gibbles.
Oh, yeah. So, another hand comes in.
Well, let's skip the next one. We'll come back to it. Gibbles, if you want to take, we'll just segue into this topic here.
Which one you point at?
Page three, top of page three.
Oh, top of page three. Oh, really? That's the one I got to talk about.
Well, we're gonna segue back into the one above it after this because we're gonna stick with this kind of loop.
I was getting ready to say, I'm like, man, the way that reads, it's like, and now Gibbles gets to come in with the boring shit.
Oh, no.
And I'm Walter Cronkite, and we're going and to talk about the economy. Yes, and that's it. Yeah, so is everything a trailer now? You know, all these Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, you know, before Endgame, you know, you had your prequels and sequels and stuff. Not bad because of the fact that I think because they followed the movies or the comics. Wow, I think I've drank too much. Go figure. You know, following the comics. But then after Endgame, I felt like we're doing the whole DEI and we're putting in the woke and we're setting the agenda. and everything just kind of went to crap.
Yeah. Let me interject here. Does anybody else, and this, all the people listening to, when they finished the Marvel Endgame movies, who else felt like that was just like a hard nosedive for Hollywood? And they were like, this is peak movie. We can never, ever top this again. So now everything we make after this point will just suck.
That the problem is you had COVID that literally happened right after it. And then it stunted everything else afterwards.
But that should have been a time for the writers to turn around, take the time they had to social distance and stay inside for that 2 weeks that was 800 weeks to flatten the curve and just write and create and do everything that they could have done.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You're thinking of it as a positive. They thought about it as, we got to make money now. So the thing is, what you're looking at is correct. They should have spent the time and said, hey, if while we're locked down anyway, let's refine, let's look over this stuff long term. You know, sure, we're not going to make as much money in the short term, but let's maximize our royalties, maximize our money we got from these movies. Let's keep merchandise going and everything else, keep teasers, and ask everybody what they want, because quite frankly, everybody's stuck at home and can't do anything anyway. But instead, they said, quick, let's get the slop out there now, because everybody's stuck at home, so they're going to watch it whether they want to or not.
Yeah. So Hollywood failed massively in that time frame during COVID, but Pornhub skyrocketed, which was, you know, a given.
Well, here's a good thing you can think about, too. It's almost the same way when you had Zack Snyder making Justice League. Sadly, he had to leave for personal reasons, you know, the family emergency, everything, God forbid. But then you brought in somebody from Marvel Universe to take the movie and finish it. And instead of just taking what was done and just running with it and get it done, this jackass goes and decides, no, I know better than Zack Snyder. I know better than everyone else. And I'm going to take DC Comics, which are normally edgier and darker in content anyways, and I'm going to make it bright and fuzzy and everybody's happy. And we're going to get like the happy ending right away and just go that way. And then watch how fast that shit flopped.
Mm-hmm. Brightburn was a movie that was done. If you guys saw that one, young Superman as a like a child or a teenager.
Yeah. It turns out to be the villain.
Turns out. Yeah. It's like the bizarro line of Superman. He realizes that he's a sociopath and just doesn't care. He will kill whoever he wants to because we're the weak ones.
Yeah.
I wish to hell they would be able to get the other half of the rights to that movie franchise and continue down that line, because, oh my God, if you've not watched Brightburn, I cannot recommend that movie enough. And I'm not like a huge DC fan, but fuck, that movie was good. It was gory and violent as shit in some scenes, pleasingly violent even. That and Dread.
It wasn't like, well, it wasn't even like out of place the way they did it.
That was totally appropriate. Yeah. Well within the character bounds.
Well, it's one of those things. Yes, Gibbs,
you need a what?
That I thought The Boys had proved this 3 or 4 years ago when they first came
out. Oh, dude, The Boys is awesome.
The Boys on Amazon Prime, I really feel like set the new standard for superhero. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, Marvel was smart. They have their niche, which is good.
Yeah.
Which is great. They're staying within it. Granted, they've had a few movies that have sucked, but I feel like some of the more recent ones.
Eternals. Like,
oh, man.
They could have done so much better with that one.
Dude, like, what mixture of drugs and bullshit was happening with that movie? Because at the end of it, the only good thing about it is they introduced, what's his name? The big guy?
Galactus?
Thank you. I thought it was the other one. Is it Galactus or is it the other one that has the six eyes on the fucking...
Oh, you're talking about the Celestial.
Big
mofo.
Yes. That was the only good part. Also, I will say that led into Moon Knight, which is a great fucking series. I recommend watching it.
Yes, it actually was. That was one, and right along with Loki.
Yes,
that was Loki's good, too.
Loki was solid.
So, but that was because they learned from the mistakes of these other shows in the movies, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad. But, quite frankly, a lot of movies are looking for a more adult audience. And a lot of kids aren't watching movies as much or TV shows. That's really YouTube dominates. The, like, basically under 25 crowd, under 24 crowd. by a factor of like 1,000 to 1. It's not even close.
YouTube and TikTok.
But it's but it's the same theme every single time with all the ones that we keep saying, like, this was good, this was good. They did well because they were telling the story. They didn't care who they were putting into the movie or what, you know, the message was. They were telling the story.
Yeah.
And that's why they did well.
Yep. Yeah. So you asked, is everything just a trailer now? It seems like most movies that come out, they show the whole movie in the trailer. And that's like all the best parts.
I'm trying to remember what movie it was. There was a movie that they had a trailer for that once they were done with the trailer, you didn't have to watch the movie.
You know what? I gotta jump my soapbox. As much as I loved it, the Formula One movie. If you watch the full trailer for it, you already know the goddamn story. And as someone that's an avid Formula One fan, I was pissed. Because they should not have showed as much as they did.
Yeah.
So it drove me nuts because, like, great, I know what the fuck's going to happen. Like, for 90% of it. But I've seen this with so many movies. You're 100% right, and I never thought about that before. But they give way too much away in the trailer. Way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I walk away from a movie trailer and I'm like, it looks interesting, but I have no freaking idea what happened or what it's about, that's what I like. Because then it makes me go, you know, should I watch this? You know, I'm interested in it, but I have no fucking idea what they were saying, but... Yeah, why not? Let's go watch it.
You know, now that you mention it, I feel like movie trailers used to be 20 or 30 seconds, but now they're like 2 or 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Like, oh, God. If somebody in chat can do a study and see what was the average movie trailer time like 20 years ago versus now, I bet you it'll go from like 30 seconds to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
So trailers used to be clips of only the first 30 minutes of the movie. They might show something in like the last half hour or the last 45 minutes, but they would never show anything in like the last half hour or 20 minutes, like none of the climax stuff. But you're seeing climax act stuff in trailers now.
I think even with Deadpool, like the most recent Deadpool movie, there were a lot of scenes at the end of the movie that were in the trailer.
Yes.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
So according to what I'm seeing, most movie trailers were generally increasing from a low in the 1980s, but still typically around 2 and 2.5 minutes. The average might have been slightly longer in the 90s than today. But now you're seeing it stabilize above 2 minutes, like, period. Like, you're not going to find, unless it's one of those, oh, this is the teaser trailer for the trailer, you're not going to find a movie trailer under 2 minutes, no.
So, okay, are we differentiating? Because you've got commercials as trailers, or trailers that are commercials, like back in the old day of TV when we had commercials during the shows, and you'd see the trailer pop up, and the actual trailer that you'd see at the beginning of the movie before the movie started, and you'd get there 20 minutes early so you could see the trailers.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you have the television shows, or, you know, the television commercials, where you get like a 10-second blip of, hey, like, you know, Endgame. Okay, here's Tony Stark. Here's, you know, a couple other Avengers. Hey, Thor slams down and he's got Groot next to him, and boom, Avengers Endgame. Mm-hmm. You know, versus you get the trailer where you almost get the whole story. And you're watching it because, you know, you get what I call, you know, the special effects porn.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're watching it for the special effects. You're not watching it for the story. You know, and you have certain movies that are like that. You know going in, the story sucks.
So,
but you want to watch it for the special effects.
I have two observations. One from something you just said that I did not realize. When you were talking about TV, differentiating between the TV shows and commercials, particularly with the trailer, what I did not factor in is nowadays, who the fuck watches TV? Everybody sees commercials that are 2 or 3 minutes because they're either on TikTok or Instagram or big trailers. The only time I see advertisements for movies is the full trailer. Especially like I get it up on YouTube or something like that, or I'll see, oh, this trailer dropped, and I'll watch it. Because I don't think any of us actually watch TV. And even if it's like a commercial for a streaming service, it's only ever for the movies that are already on there, which case I will have already seen an ad for it anyway. So right. I feel like that's like a circular thing where you just never see the short ones anymore.
Yeah.
Now, you know? I will say that I went to my parents' house recently. They don't pay for the non-commercial version of Prime.
Oh.
I do. So same. I complain about, you know, ads that are advertising other stuff on Prime, and I'm just like, I'm paying for the ad-free version of Prime. I know it's on Prime. Why do I care to watch, you know, an advertisement for this? However, going over to my parents' house and seeing the commercialized version of Prime, I'm like, I now see what I'm paying for, and oh my God, it's like television. And some of the ads, you know, you could be like 3-4 minutes long. It's insane.
That's gross.
Like, we're watching, what movie was it? What was that movie called where, you know, anything above a certain elevation, aliens couldn't go?
Oblivion?
No, not no. Oblivion. It was a little recent one with the guy that's now playing the new Captain America, who is Falcon.
Uh-huh.
And the aliens, you know, showed up to Earth. They started killing everybody, but they found out if they go above a certain elevation, aliens couldn't go that far.
Don't think I saw that one.
Well, we tried watching that movie, or I did, and I swear it was like every 20 minutes or so, all of a sudden, boom, commercials. And I'm just like, you know, that $2-3 a month that I'm paying to not have commercials,
worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because if I saw the same woman advertising Colgate toothpaste again, I was going to punt the screen and just replace it with one for my father. I was just getting irritated.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Is big media sacrificing standalone quality for continuous engagement and franchise growth? Because we're seeing a lot more like small scale stuff that's going to the streaming services rather than to the theaters, like you were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's obvious. You know, the hour. You Stefan Gibbs, my brain hurts now just thinking about this.
No, it's okay. Take your time.
It's not even alcohol that's speaking. It's just straight up like, oh, God.
Where's the leak, sir? It hurts. It's in your brain.
But no, I will agree that it's quantity over quality at this point. And if you notice, once COVID hit, the branch-offs in the Marvel universe for all the different TV shows, I haven't kept up with like half of them. Also, to be fair, it's because the beginning of Hawkeye sucked and I couldn't get through it. And I just never bothered to fucking finish it. And I couldn't stand, what's her name? The other one. Yeah. I forget, whatever. But the point is, we've seen that with a lot of different series where, you know, they're just not putting in the quality work because they're so used to at least content people will watch no matter the quality. And unfortunately, a lot of people, they just put shows on in the background. How many people do you know will actually sit there and only watch a TV show? A lot of people, they have their phone on, they're scrolling through, they watch in the background, they're cleaning the house, they're doing something else. It used to be the active thing was you would sit there and watch a movie and it would have 100% of your attention. Now I see it as more of a background thing for a lot of people.
Yeah. For me,
when I'm cooking off YouTube.
Yeah. Music for me, for background stuff. Yeah. I've got that tism where if there's something on and there's people doing things, I will watch. So, but that brings up another topic in the entertainment stuff. The soft reboot epidemic. Why are studios constantly returning to properties from 20 and 30 years ago? Are they just out of ideas? Is it purely financial? Or are they still trying to hit demographic sweet spots that they can exploit?
It's easy. You've already got the stories written out. Why not? You could just read in like a cartoon. You could just reanimate it to today's, you know, art style.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit better graphics, a little bit better this, you know, tweak things a little bit.
Hold on. You say that. CGI is getting markedly worse over the years. Look at Transformers, like the first Transformers movie. The CGI in that movie was fucking chef's kiss. Now you look at the movies that are coming out, it's garbage. Like, what happened? Did they forget how to CGI or what?
So I will say it peaked with the first Avatar movie. I feel like that had
the first Avatar movie.
I don't know. You mean the blue people Avatar. Blue people Avatar.
Okay, yeah. I was gonna say fanfic doesn't count.
I watched that movie so many times compared the second Avatar to the first one. Just like a scene that spoke that just stuck out for me the most is when the animals are running through the rainforest and James Cameron has the camera show where they're hitting the water and stuff. The first time that movie came out, it was amazing. Comparing that to now, you can literally see the delay where the animal's hoof hits the water, nothing happens, and all of a sudden there's a splash. So,
from the new one?
Yeah, compared to the new one. The new one, oh my God, that water effects is amazing. Especially if you compare it to like other video, you know, movies and stuff. He has that water effect on point. That, to me, was amazing.
Interesting.
Yeah. But if you compare it to the first one, it's like night and day difference.
Yeah.
Really? Maybe it was the screen I was watching it on. Maybe it's because I have like a regular, like I don't have an OLED or anything that's like crazy. But to me, it didn't look that much better.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things that, yeah, okay. It probably looked the same, but I don't know. Just for me, from my perspective, there was certain stuff that from 20 years ago or however long it was when the movie first came out. Yeah, it looked amazing then because compared to everything else out at the time, yeah, the effects were, you know, considerably better. But then you compare it to the latest Avatar and then you compare the first one to the second one and it's like, oh, there's a big difference. It's not as obvious if you don't know what to look for. But if you're actually breaking down the different scenes and stuff, you can start kind of picking out, you know, different things that it's like, oh, well, that's kind of jumping out at me. Like, that doesn't look as good as it used to.
Yeah.
You know,
so let me,
just like I said, water effects, totally upgrade.
So then let me bring out the second point that I was going to make, which is a lot of people argue that the Pirates of the Caribbean series has some of the best CGI ever done. But you can argue that some of it isn't exactly photorealistic, but it has a character to it. It has an interesting quality where it has a lot of detail, but it doesn't overload you with detail. It looks very pleasing to the eye. I guess my other point was going to be there comes a point in CGI where when it becomes so overly photorealistic and detailed that it almost gives this uncanny valley effect where like when you're looking at a person regularly, you don't notice all the fine little details in every pore and every little single hair. It becomes to a point where there's so much detail, it doesn't feel real. Whereas I feel like in those movies, they focused on the details that you're going to see, but they didn't waste time on the things that you're not going to see. And one of the things I'm noticing with everything is they don't look at the main character being detailed and kind of letting everything else be background. It's almost everything all the time is the character, which sometimes almost becomes overloading in some of these action sequences and screens where it's like, Jesus Christ, you could go up to there and count like 97 million pieces of hair in every character. It's like, that's great. But if you're watching on a regular TV, it doesn't matter. It's not going to show anything.
Yeah.
So I can't watch 4K stuff.
Why?
Because it looks like, you know, back in the 60s where they had like the little spaceships dangling from strings and shit. And it looks like it'll superimpose over another video. That's what it looks like to me. Like most stuff in 4K that I have seen, it just looks, especially when it's like older stuff that's been brought up to 4K. Watch Independence Day in 4K. Oh, yeah. Like the scene where he's flying the jet, chasing the UFO through the canyon. No. Oh my God. That scene just looks like it's right out of a 60s flick with the string ships and stuff.
Well, yeah, a lot of that was practical anyway. So,
yeah. So but I mean, a lot of the upscaled stuff, it's impossible. Now, if you have a shot in IMAX made for 8K OLED Ultra, tickle your balls with someone's tonsils, you know, that kind of screen, then yes, it looks fucking amazing, but I don't have a $25,000 TV. I have a $389 TV.
You don't have a $25,000 TV. What kind of American are you?
I know. Right. I have a new projector that I paid like $160 for that actually looks as good as my TV upstairs. I'm like beside myself how good this projector looks. And it's just
Did you get this after we came out the last time?
No, it was here. We just didn't use it.
Oh, no, see, I used it last year when we were watching Formula One.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, last year y'all had that one. But this time, I had just gotten it, and we just didn't do anything with it. So y'all come down again, you know, we'll use it.
Well, yeah, next year.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, no, and then here's, you know, the best best movie you could think of that would, to even today's standards,
porn up
speaks. Oh, no, not porn. I was going to say Jurassic Park.
Oh, fuck yeah.
The first one?
Yes.
The way Spielberg did that?
It still holds up.
Any movie. Yeah. We're talking how long now? But Jesus.
93.
Yeah. And the way that was done with the CGI and the puppetry and everything mixed.
The physical effects, yeah.
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 If they would just do that now, it'd be scary.
Right. All right. So we'll get off the movies and stuff. A little bit of news. Oh. And if you've noticed, again, I put some shiny eyes on my microphone here. Someone put googly eyes on some statues over in Oregon. The question is it vandalism or visionary art?
Depends who owns
the statue. If you can take them down, if you can take the googly eyes down, then it's not vandal.
Yeah.
But it's still art in its own way.
Yes. So now my mic, as I have verbally abused this microphone over the past year, it has seen some things, as you can see by the expression. So a deep sea death ball sponge eats animals. Scientists find 30 freaky species under Antarctica, including a carnivorous sponge that rolls up like a tumbleweed to munch on sea critters.
What?
That sounds kind of terrifying because sponges aren't usually carnivores. So
SpongeBob got hungry, huh?
SpongeBob on bath salts, basically.
Ah, he's back on the menu.
Yes.
Honestly, imagine.
I don't think that's right, SpongeBob.
Imagine SpongeBob as like a serial killer that's like a cannibal. Yeah. You know, just that in the background.
It's the hash slinging slasher. No, it's me. Careful, SpongeBob.
They have no one to. Because the only thing to fear in the night is SpongeBob.
There's nothing to fear but me.
Oh, no, God. Not Gary. Leave Gary alone.
Meow.
Meow.
Oh, God. You know, rewriting SpongeBob as a horror film like they did with Winnie the Pooh, I could get behind that like 100%.
Oh yeah.
I said we were getting off the AI and the movie shit. If somebody could go and do AI generated movies with cartoons written as horror movies, I would fucking watch them. Fuck.
Well, you know, SpongeBob was really supposed to be an adult show. So you know about that, right?
Oh, yeah. So like when you watch Sandy give him a sponge job.
A penny raid.
Yeah.
What are you, square old man crab?
Yeah. And then the last big article I've got is that a giant floating pumpkin race in Oregon. This is going to be Thanksgiving's weirder cousin as crowds go nuts for a pumpkin regatta. Massive gourds turned into boats capsizing into lakes like edible Titanic. $20 tickets for vegetable chaos. And on that, I do have a very terrible dad joke I'd like to tell. Do you guys know what the prettiest food for Thanksgiving is? The stumped look on your face says no. It is, in fact, the pumpkin. And that's because they're gorgeous.
Oh my God. I like a dad joke. Jesus.
Oh yes, I am a terrible human being for that one. Gibbs?
I'm not going to defy it with a response. I am defiant in my protest of this.
Oh my God. Oh, you're welcome. I know. It's horrible.
My God. It was so bad. I could literally taste the disgust of the air. That
was,
oh man.
Was it salty?
Yes. Salt my fries with it. Oh, man. Oh. Right. I would have facepalmed so hard, my palm would be 5 feet behind my face. Oh, man. But also, so you're talking about there's like people are hollowing out pumpkins and stuff and floating them down a river?
Yes. And
how
I
big
would,
are these pumpkins?
That's what I was going to ask. Like, how fucking big are these pumpkins that you can fit some average Americans in them? Because if they're big enough to hold an average Walmart shopper, my fucking God.
That's a big pumpkin. Cool. That's some bitches.
To quote the offstage voice from Deuce Bigelow, that's a huge bitch.
Yeah. That's so a giant pumpkin.
Is a pumpkin, because of the oil with the shell, are they naturally like waterproof? Are they like hydrophobic? And if so, do they make a decent boat?
We could get some and try it out.
Because if so, here's my question. Why doesn't someone make a business just making big pumpkins into boats? It's environmentally friendly.
Hmm. It wouldn't last very long.
Just cover them in wax.
Yeah, coat the inside with like resin or something.
You know, if they last like a couple of weeks, I mean, that would be cool for like an event.
On
this episode of Short Bus Science, we're going to see how much wax it takes to fully waterproof a pumpkin.
Short Bus Science. Oh my God.
Row, row, row your pumpkin gently down the stream. It's just.
Yeah. I have seen where someone took a piece of pumpkin pie and encased it in resin. There's that.
Does it?
I've also seen pumpkins in resin. Mm-hmm.
Does resin perfectly preserve something?
It can, depending on how you do it, because resin will get hot. So you've got to be careful how you do it.
So it cooks the pumpkin.
Well, it's also that. Well, you also have to remember there's bacteria on the object when you put it in resin. So unless you kill the bacteria, it's still going to have that in the resin. So the bacteria is still going to break down what's in there.
So you have to like spray alcohol on it.
Yes, you have to sterilize it. Hmm. Yeah. Otherwise,
you end up with goo.
With a pumpkin, you might have to remove its guts.
Yeah.
And treat it like a really rough date on a Friday night to get it ready.
What kind of dates have you been on that call that a rough date?
Organ harvesting.
Jesus.
He does organ harvesting.
It gets good prices for kidneys,
listen,
apparently.
When you're sitting there digging the guts out of a pumpkin and the girl's watching you and she's getting excited, you just look over at her and you say, "Don't worry, you're next." And she's like, "Ooh." You know you're in for a great ride.
That's called trauma.
I still have all my organs though, okay?
That is trauma.
That's a trauma response. That's concerning. I've
done a lot of things in life. Oh my God.
I feel like every week with you, I'm understanding you a little bit more from more like of a therapist perspective, not just a friend. I feel like.
Why do you think I don't go to therapy? I'm worried I'd get committed.
Yeah.
I'd be sitting there making a joke and laughing, and they'd be sitting there like,
And now you know why the other branches of the military make fun of the Navy.
Oh, shit. Oh,
God.
And it's not because we're trying to make fun of them. We're just worried, but we don't know how to express that worry.
You know, all I can think about now is, do we have a pumpkin race where whoever can build the best pumpkin boat wins? The problem is, how the fuck do you build a pumpkin or grow a pumpkin big enough to be a boat?
You get seeds from a big pumpkin.
Yeah.
You start there. But I don't think it matters the size. We just have to stipulate a few things, like how can it be propelled?
Sails.
Damn.
Or if you want to use electric motor, you can.
I don't need electric.
You know, as soon as you mentioned that, all I could think is Nigel and Marmalade with the little fly blowing through a straw so he can go down the shit river.
God. I want to make a rocket powered pumpkin.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. A pumpkin.
I watched.
Have you not seen where they launch pumpkins out of catapults?
Yes, pumpkin chunking.
I can make a rocket powered pumpkin. Okay.
I mean, yeah, that's true. You just stick a pumpkin on the top of a rocket and you yeet it. Like, there's no.
Yeah, that's the same. Well, it's the same principle as taking a full size skeleton and putting it on a rocket and see what happens. I watched that today.
Yeah. You take a corpse and shove a rocket up its ass and put it on the water. See what happens.
That's a weird enema.
For science.
Yeah, giving someone a firework enema wasn't on my Sunday list, but you know, choose your own. Also, we'll say pumpkin chunking is kind of a fun thing to watch because of people screwing up.
Yeah.
Like the one where that came back and knocked her right in the face.
Oh my God, that would require so much surgery and medical attention, getting like a 10-pound pumpkin. No,
it was so bad.
Wasn't that the watermelon on the Great Race or whatever that was?
Same
difference. That would still suck.
So bad.
But pumpkin chunking is kind of cool because the big air cannons they would use and shit in the other catapults, like.
Oh yeah.
There was some that would spin up to like several hundred RPM. It was like a 5 or 6 foot long arm. Like, that's terrifying because when you know a bunch of rednecks are building, it's not like they use anything called a protractor or measuring tape. They're just kind of free will with a welder in a scrapyard. They're like, let's fucking send it. Like, there's no
junkyard wars, but for rednecks.
Yeah. God, you know what? Now that you mention it, I have not seen that on TV or anywhere like in years.
Well, they took junkyard wars off because it was giving people too many ideas. Hence, Killdozer. You know,
Killdozer predates Junkyard Wars.
I know.
But still. Oh. All right.
That was all the topics that we had. So I knew this was going to be a short episode tonight.
It was not.
I don't know. We did pretty well.
It was not a short episode.
Well, we had a lot of shenanigans beforehand.
Yeah, well, valid.
But still.
When do we not?
The problem is, if you get all three of us talking, it's never a short episode.
I didn't do noodles and nips before we went live. That's why we fucked things up.
Oh.
Well, you can't do them now. Now you're fucking up even worse.
Oh, shit.
Shoot.
Yeah. Oh, it's, I still can't believe that next week is a year.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. We made it a year with no bans, no strikes, no warnings, nothing.
I know.
And I still have been pulling shit out of the bag and traumatizing you weekly almost.
Well, it's a pretty big bag.
It's bigger than Santa's.
That's the eternal bag of holding.
let me show you my eternal bag of trauma. Yeah, that's
yeah, it should be awesome.
You call it mental illness. I call it depression. There's a two different
things. I call it living. So, yeah, we're hoping the next week's episode is really, really fun. It should, hopefully. The biggest issue is that we're going to have a companion video for it. The episode itself shouldn't be that hard. But if getting the video is going to be harder than getting some old guy pumped full of Viagra to perform. But we can still get it done and get it put together for y'all. What?
I'm just, one of these days, we're going to have to set a challenge for you to not mention any genitalia for an entire episode. And I want to watch your head just
impossible.
Explode. Yeah.
Impossible.
His head will explode.
Do you remember Beavis and Butthead when they weren't allowed to laugh for the entire school day? That'll be me.
Yes.
Whoops.
I hit my microphone.
Yeah. So, anything else we need to get out there? I I swore I would never do this, and I think it's about time that we might have to start doing this and start trying to whore ourselves out a little bit. We're getting to that point. Maybe start having people liking, sharing, doing the subscribing thing. I trust people that they know how to do the internet, but I'd love to see some more growth. I'd love to hear about some more engagement. I'd like to see more interaction on the Discord, on the socials. So, you know, interaction helps manage growth. Also, we have some new things coming probably this week that are not normal channel things. We're going to try to kind of stick our appendages into other holes and see how it goes. We'll don't give me that look.
I can give you a look, any look I fucking want to.
It's that disappointment look that I used to get.
It's just, the problem is my default look for you is disgust and bewilderment. So it's just like the default. Appendages and other things. Oh my God.
Yes. So hopefully you guys like what we have coming up, and we'll just take it from there and keep on keeping on and getting you guys some interesting shows and topics. So anything else, guys?
No. I'm good.
No, I'm just still taking it all in. It's a lot for me to digest over here, you know.
Oh, you're going to take it all in.
don't you dare. No. That's nasty.
All right, we're going to get off here. I'm going to go traumatize Gibbs some more. So you guys, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for sticking around. And as always, we'll see y'all next time.